educating our kids.
We have to do with what we had in our base budget last year. Not a lot of wiggle room to add new things.
Policing and safety.
We can't leave people out that are violent and dangerous, strung out on drugs.
Taxes, guns, and the fate of medical marijuana. The 2016 legislative session is officially in session, and Doug Wright has all the angles. He's live at the Utah State Capitol on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
A moment ago, we talked with the Speaker of the House here in the great state of Utah, Greg Hughes, and I'm very pleased to have the Minority Leader in the House of Representatives, Representative Brian King, joining us right now. And Representative, good to have you here.
Thank you very much, Doug.
We missed the opening day of the legislature, as I've mentioned, in deference to and in honor of Douglas Barney. And then we carried the funeral. And so I haven't been up here on the second day of the legislative session. It's a little different feel on the second day, isn't it?
Well, you had your priorities right.
Yeah.
I think it was important to honor Officer Barney.
The opening day is a lot of hoopla and pomp and ceremony. Families are up here and everything. But Speaker Hughes was saying that they really knuckled down and got some business done yesterday. From your point of view as Minority Leader, what did unfold yesterday?
Well, we hear on the first day from the Speaker in the House and from the Senate President in the Senate. They give sort of their overview of the session, and then we hear from the judiciary, we hear from the Chief Justice giving a state of the judiciary. We heard both those things. But we had floor time yesterday in which we considered some bills that we discussed during the interim sessions. So we passed through the House a number of bills yesterday.
I mentioned to the Speaker, and this was in the Deseret News this morning, a change in access for the press from the Speaker's point of view, where normally, and this will continue in the Senate, it'll continue with the governor, that daily accessibility where the press can gather, ask questions, it's on the internet and so on. The Speaker wants it more to be one-on-one interviews with various reporters. What is your reaction to that?
Well, I wasn't informed of that. I found out the Speaker was not continuing to do these daily briefings the same as the public did. I wasn't involved in that decision-making process. It's a little puzzling to me. I think that we ought to, as publicly elected officials, be completely open to the greatest extent possible in terms of letting people know what we're doing, why we're doing it, getting our message out, getting the word out, of making ourselves available for questions. I don't think that we help ourselves when we insulate ourselves or put ourselves in a bubble.
I'm certainly not down on one-on-one interviews. I think it's great. I think to be able to sit down, go in depth, we see at the national level, we see it with some very high-profile senators, we see it with the president, the vice president, and others. But as I expressed to the Speaker, I was a little concerned about it.
And we're so busy. I mean, it's easy to say I'll do one-on-one interviews, but, you know, if the Speaker makes time to do that, great. But, you know, I think that it would be better to have open briefings on a daily basis.
The Speaker made the case that things are much more open than is perceived either through reporting or through things that are said in the media or from the opposition party than the perception truly is. And there is the perception in the state of Utah that things are happening behind closed doors, that caucus meetings are closed. He made the comparison to the Senate, said compared to the Senate, we are wide open. He talked about votes that aren't properly reported. From a minority leader position, and let's see, I wrote down the ratio, it's a 63-12 in the House.
Right.
How excluded do you feel as a... as a Democrat?
Well, it's true that the House is better than the Senate in terms of keeping the House Republicans are better than the Senate Republicans in terms of keeping their caucus open. And look, that's good. But the key thing here is when you see the big issues come up, when you see the divisive issues come up, such as Medicaid expansion, that's when you saw them close the House Republican caucus in October. And that's a frustrating thing. I mean, if you keep the House caucus, the Republican caucus, open 90% of the time, but the issues that are really important and big and divisive, they close it for, you know, that's a problem. That's one aspect of it. So I think we keep our House Democratic caucus open, except when we're having elections for internal things or when we're discussing with our legal counsel, legal strategy, things like that, personnel issues.
Mm-hmm.
Those times we close the caucus, but those are quite irregular and rare. Every time we're talking about bills that are the people's business, we're going to be opening the caucus. So there's a difference between us and the Republicans there. The second thing, though, that is troubling to me is... Speaker Hughes has taken a different approach than past speakers in terms of dealing with the Democrats in the House. We don't feel like we have had access to him and to his leadership team in terms of regular meetings. We don't feel like he has made an attempt to include leadership of the Democrats in the House in terms of discussions about direction that the House is going. And that's very different. Speaker Lockhart was much more inclusive. Speaker Dave Clark was much more inclusive. And I think it makes for much better policy making in the state of Utah when we have bipartisan support and discussion on all of our bills.
Just a very quick final question. As you do look at the upcoming legislation, Brian, and legislative session, and the legislation, I'm trying to get my words straight here, that you are most concerned about. What is at the top of the heap for Utah's Democrats during this session?
Well, there are a lot of issues. Medicaid expansion is huge. We think that we've missed tremendous opportunities to bring back a lot of money to the state of Utah over the past 3 years, but more important, to affect positively the quality of people's lives by giving them access to health care. So we'll continue to work on that, but honestly, I'm not particularly optimistic. I keep hearing from my colleagues across the aisle that they have, if anything, retreated in their willingness to entertain meaningful Medicaid expansion in this session, and that's very frustrating. We also feel that there needs to be more attention paid to public education. There's a lot of talk about this, but there aren't really any serious, significant, meaningful discussions about new resources to be applied to public education. We're talking about that. And then finally, economic issues. You know, we as Democrats are in support of an increase in the minimum wage, a living wage, we call it. No one should be working 40 hours a week and be below poverty line. And that's where we are with the minimum wage currently. Also, fair paid family leave, equal pay for equal work. All those things are working family issues in the state of Utah that Democrats are addressing and want to address. And so we'll move forward with those things.
Representative King, I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you very much.
I really
do.
And throughout the legislative session, I hope you feel the conduit is open so we can talk about things that are important to Utah citizens in general, Utah's Democratic representatives up here on Capitol Hill.
Have me back anytime.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Representative Brian King, who is the minority leader here on Utah's Capitol Hill in the House of Representatives. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with the majority leader in the House, Representative Dunnigan. We'll be right here at KSL News Radio.